there was a mayoral candidate in New York City a few years back that uttered one of the great political quotes of all time when he said the rent was too damn high. And that seems to be what we're talking about here, although I guess it's not just rent prices that are causing some of this problem.
The lack of affordable housing is a longstanding issue, and it's why we have homelessness. So what we're trying to point out through this report is that obviously if the private market could fill the housing needs of everyone out there, they would be doing it. But particularly if you're an extremely low-income household, the private market doesn't do a very good job at meeting your housing needs, particularly if you're, either if you're a renter or a homeowner, which is why it's so important that we have public funding, both from the federal government and state government and also local governments, to make it possible to create affordable housing for everyone who needs it.
The president's proposed budget would cut some of those programs. What impact would that have?
As our report points out, you have to earn over $20 per hour just to afford the rent on sort of an average two-bedroom apartment. And so if the cuts that are proposed by President Trump go forward, we would undoubtedly see that housing wage go up in the future because he's proposing to cut programs like public housing, the Housing Choice Voucher program, the home program, and CDVG, which make it possible for groups, for-profit and nonprofit, to build affordable rental housing.
Renting is always considered a cheaper option for people in some cases, rather than trying to get a loan and purchase a house and live there. So when rent becomes too expensive for many people, what happens then? What happens to those folks who can't afford to buy a home and they can't afford the rent?
Well, the worst case scenario is that people become homeless, and that's obviously really horrible for the people who become homeless, which are often families with children. But there's also a lot of social costs for homelessness. People have to go to homeless shelters. They are more likely to go to emergency rooms. They're, it's very challenging for their kids to attend school and do well in school. But for most people, what they do is they just wind up spending a really high percentage of their income on rent. And if you're an extremely low-income household, the chances are you're probably paying well in excess of 50% of your income just to keep a roof over your head. So that means you have very little left over for food, clothing, healthcare, education needs. You can't save anything. And I don't think, that's at least from our perspective, and we hope the perspective of your listeners, that's not the type of society we want to have, where people are at such risk of becoming homeless.
I know I was looking at some numbers, and it pointed out that the rental market has been very strong, which I'm assuming makes this picture even worse. And the average household income has been down over the last several years, almost a decade or so, while the rent prices have actually gone up. So these two things are going in opposite directions, and it's creating a bigger gap, I'm guessing, for these for people trying to afford rental costs.
Yes, and obviously there's a lot of variation by local housing markets, but general, in the aftermath of the foreclosure crisis and the Great Recession, there's been an uptick in the percentage of all households who are renters, and that's essentially kind of created more competition for rental units. And, developers are building some rental housing. It tends to be at the higher end of the market, but what we've seen at the more affordable end of the market that serves people, again, with extremely low incomes, there's more competition for those units. So even in that part of the market, rents have continued to increase.
I know if you look at cost of living in the state of Illinois, it varies from Chicago, certainly in the suburbs, to downstate Illinois. It's certainly cheaper to live in some more rural and smaller areas of the state, smaller towns. That being said, I think this study has pointed out that it's really no place in Illinois does a minimum wage salary work for a two-bedroom apartment.
That's correct. Nowhere in Illinois does a minimum wage salary work for a two-bedroom apartment. So in terms of, you know, addressing the lack of affordable housing, obviously creating more rental units is one way to do it. But then another important strategy is increasing people's incomes. And that's why we're in support of the legislation that just passed the General Assembly to increase the minimum wage in Illinois to $15 an hour over the next few years. And we're hoping Governor Rauner will sign that.
And by that $15 number, just to point out, I believe this study showed in the Chicago metropolitan area, on average, it would cost you $23.69 an hour to afford a two-bedroom apartment. That's on average. And then in rural parts of the state, that drops all the way down to $12.58 an hour. But again, minimum wage right now only at $8.25 an hour in the state of Illinois. So bringing that up at least would provide some relief for those people struggling to pay for having a roof over their head.
It would. And it would provide people relief from high rental costs. And also importantly, it would give people more money to spend, you know, at the grocery store or at the doctor's office or, you know, taking care of their kids' needs. So I think while there's certainly some higher cost for employers, there'll also be more, a lot of economic activity generated by increasing people's wages.
Something that I think may get lost in this, and I believe was pointed out by your organization, was is the fact that even though people might be able to afford rents or be able to live in an apartment for a little while, oftentimes if they're really struggling to make rent, they bounce around. They have to uproot the family. They have to find new housing on a regular basis. And when you have kids, that really becomes difficult. So it's that lack of certainty or that lack of stability that factors into this as well.
That's correct. And, you know, there's all sorts of various definitions of homelessness out there. The federal government has a very specific definition that actually excludes families that are doubled up with each other. So you have, you know, two families living in an apartment that was designed really for one household. And we've seen, again, sort of in the aftermath of the Great Recession, that there's been a really significant increase in the number of households who are doubled up because of their low incomes and because of the lack of affordable housing.
This is also not just a problem in Illinois, from what I've seen. This is across the country.
It is a problem across the country. And again, there's not really anywhere in the country where if you're earning minimum wage, you can afford rental housing. So in Illinois has historically tended to have kind of the highest rents among our surrounding states.
And Bob, I'm not sure how long these numbers have been tracked, but is this the worst gap that you've seen when it comes to being able to have affordable housing, especially rental housing, or is this more in line with some numbers from previously?
Well, this particular data, it's hard to compare year against year because it's based on federal government data, and they're always kind of tweaking their definitions and how they collected. So I would say that, sadly, what's in this report is really just more or less consistent what we've seen in prior years. It's not in this report, but in another report that we co-release often with the National Low-Income Housing Coalition, we see that there's an excess of a shortage of there's a shortage of over 300,000 affordable rental units statewide for extremely low-income households, and that number is sort of consistent from year to year, as is the housing wage. It goes up a little bit over time, but I can't say it's dramatically different than what we've seen in the past.
What would you say to those who might argue, you know, people shouldn't get a place they can't afford? They should try to live within their means. If all they can make is minimum wage, they may have to look at different types of housing. There's also subsidized housing in some cases and public housing. What do you say to those folks who might argue that point?
Well, I guess I would ask them to go out there and try and find rental apartments that those rents that you're saying, well, that's what people should settle for. I think, you know, for housing choice vouchers, most of the waiting lists around the state are closed, so you can't even get on the waiting list. For most subsidized apartments, there's a long waiting list if you can even get on the waiting list. If you're, you know, living doubled up with someone, it's generally in violation of the lease you would have with the landlord. So you're putting the household that, you know, you're sharing with and yourself at risk of eviction. So, you know, that's easier said than done.
And I don't know anybody out there who would want to see somebody become homeless or have to struggle like that. But at the same time, there may be people who think, you know, it doesn't impact me. I'm able to afford my rent, or I own my home or paying on my home. It doesn't affect me. But it does have an effect on society, doesn't it? I mean, as a whole, there are impacts here that will affect everyone.
Yes. And as I mentioned before, there's many social costs associated with homelessness. You know, that state government, federal government, local government pay for, like offering homeless shelters and transitional housing programs. Again, the impact on children's ability to excel in school is very much impacted by their housing stability or instability. People's physical health condition also impacted by your housing stability or lack thereof. So, you know, we need to look at not just the direct costs, but the indirect costs. And again, we have to ask sort of what sort of society do we want to live in? And again, if the private market could go out there and create rental housing and charge rents that are affordable to people with extremely low incomes, you know, they would be doing it, but they're just not doing it because it doesn't work. So there's a market failure, and it's up to the public sector, you know, through our tax dollars, to address that market failure. We talked a little bit about mm-hmm. The federal budget, but mm-hmm. The state of Illinois does have several programs that to create affordable housing and also assist people who are experiencing homelessness or really severe rent burdens. Many of those programs have seen a reduction in funding in recent years. And so we're also, you know, asking that the state pass a budget with new revenue to stop cuts to those programs.